The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Tuesday, May 18th, and we are diving into our division by division resets. The goal here is to take a look at every single division around the NFL to kind of peek at what teams' win totals are now that the schedule is out, look at their odds to win, maybe try and figure out if there's some values out there as we head into the dregs of the offseason. And just to sort of, you know, like get a bigger picture view of those teams. Coming up on this one, the AFC West reset up next or later, the AFC South reset. And of course, you have plenty of mailbags in your feedbags, if you will. Make sure and check out those mailbags. They're fun. They're entertaining. We did a two-part mailbag. Joining me now to talk about the AFC West, Cody Benjamin. What's up, buddy?
Doing well. Thanks for having me on, Will, and I really appreciate the feedback term there. I think we should put that into the
bag. Strap it on and get to work, man. You got to do it. That's how we do it in the farm. It is down south, which is also where this week's PGA Championship is taking place. That's right. Kiowa time. First cut as your podcast need covered for golf second major. Join Rick Gaiman, Kyle Porter, and Mark Emmett live every single day for the 2021 PGA Championship at Kiowa Island's famed ocean course just outside Charleston, South Carolina. From DFS previews to worthwhile wagers and even round-by-round recaps, the First Cut has it. Find the First Cut on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and even live on YouTube. Good, great show, that First Cut. They've been killing it. I think they had Cage Lee winning at some point over the weekend, which is wild because the lowest he got was like 66-1 before the weekend. Anyway, like I said, we're going to look at all these teams, break it down, and you can go read Cody's story looking at the AFC West from that perspective on CBSSports.com. We will, you know, the AFC West is pretty straightforward. I mean, the Chiefs are minus 280 to win the division right now, William Hill. The Broncos are just under 5-1, but there's a reason for that, and we'll get to it in a minute. The Chargers 6-1 and the Raiders 18-1. We start with Las Vegas because we're going to go in reverse order of those division odds. The Raiders win total 7.5, the under minus 130. Their odds to win the AFC 35-1, and their odds to win the Super Bowl 70-1. Cody, is there, you know, when you look at their best free agent additions, their best draft additions, what does anything stand out to you in the sense that maybe there's some value on the Raiders here? I have a hard time finding it.
No, I mean, I'm with you on this one. I would echo a kind of the disappointment, I think, a little bit in what Vegas is right now. You know, we're slowly working our way, you know, through this 10-year John Gruden contract, and the results just haven't been there. I mean, the draft capital has been there. They've had their chances to swing. You know, they've traded, got, you know, Khalil Mack. You go back to that deal. You go back to things like this where they're collecting assets. They're just not doing anything with them. And so you look at their offseason additions this year, you know, they've gotten criticized all over the board for the draft. You know, Alex Leatherwood reaching for him. But even beyond the draft, I mean, you look at their free agent additions, you know, individually, I don't mind a Kenyon Drake. I don't mind a John Brown. But they're not exactly upgrading their team. I mean, if you look at like John Brown, I think the best case scenario for somebody like him is basically what Nelson Agholor was last year. You look at, you know, Kenyon Drake, you've already got a workhorse in Josh Jacobs. I just think they shuffled the offensive line for no real good reason. I think that they've kind of hit their ceiling with this current structure with Derek Carr as the quarterback. With it really feels like this could be the year where we finally tip towards an actual reset, maybe whether it's at quarterback, whether it's at other positions across the roster. So no, I'm not buying into the Raiders. I think the value is where it should be.
Yeah, I wouldn't mess with Las Vegas, especially because, as we mentioned, Denver is so high. I think the three, if the Broncos trade for Aaron Rodgers, and they're the prohibitive favorite to trade for him if he is traded, then the Raiders are by far and away the worst team in this division, and it's not remotely close. So I wouldn't mess with them at all from that perspective. And I don't like to turn this show into a Raiders bashing the Raiders, because people think we do that too often. It's just hard to look at this team and figure out exactly, you know, what they're doing. As you point out, if you sign Kenyon Drake on the cheap and free agency and he's your starting running back, great. But if you use a first round pick on Josh Jacobs and then sign Kenyon Drake, it makes you wonder what's going on here. The Alex Leatherwood pick, as Ryan Wilson likes to point out, if you flip him and Trayvon Moehrig, it's fine and people don't worry about Leatherwood going to the first, but they had a good offensive line and now they've kind of blown it up, and you can look at this line and think that it's going to be good. It's just hard to imagine this offense being elite. John Brown is sort of the same as Henry Ruggs and sort of, you know, was the deep threat that Nelson Aguilar was and was the deep threat that Tyrell Williams was supposed to be. There's just not a lot to love here unless the defense can magically take a step forward. So I'm with you. I think it's a hard pass on everything futures related, unless you want to take the under on their win total. But even then, 7.5 is, you know, that's just not many games in a 17-game schedule.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think, again, those individual additions, they're fine, but just in the context of what the Raiders are doing, it doesn't make a ton of sense. I mean, Yannick Ngakoue, I mean, that's good. I mean, he'll upgrade the pass rush, but you've got other pieces there on defense that have question marks. You talked about drafting Moehrig at safety. I mean, they also spent like three other picks on safeties.
Jonathan Abrams, a first round pick on a safety 2 years ago. I mean, what are we doing?
Yeah. So it's a lot of movement, just not a lot of upgrading, it seems. And I don't know. I mean, Mariota's still there this year. I don't know if we'll see. You know, Derek Carr was good for a decent chunk of last year, but then we saw the really bad Derek Carr kind of come out in some key spots. And so, yeah, I really think if you're looking for a year where we finally teeter towards reality in terms of a quarterback change, I think it might be this year.
So outside the division, they have to play the Colts. I guess actual order of the schedule. I mean, week one, the Ravens at home on Monday night. That is not a free win. That's, you know, they're 7-point dogs to the Raiders at home. I mean, the Ravens at home, excuse me. Then they're at the Steelers in week two. They get the Dolphins in week three, at Chargers in week four, Bears in week five, at Broncos in week six, and the Eagles in week seven. I mean, no disrespect to you, but the Eagles are probably the worst team they're going to play on that list. And I don't see three wins there. So I think they're coming out of a week eight bye with two wins, maybe three, best case. And then they're at the Giants. That's all the way across the board. We've seen them lose in MetLife Stadium plenty of times. We haven't even played the Chiefs once here. They're at the Cowboys later. They do have the Bengals and Washington. So those are two potential wins. I think they go under. I think it's a 5 or 6 win team, even with a 17-game schedule. That would be the only bet I would make on the Raiders. So just, I can't have faith with them. And their win total would probably tick down a half a game, maybe, if Aaron Rodgers was traded into the division. The Chargers, I'm kind of surprised they're behind the Broncos, but I understand the concern of Vegas not wanting to get torched by, again, the Rodgers trade and people leap on it. I like the Chargers at 6-1 to win the division, to be perfectly honest. I think this is a team that's a little live there. Their win total is 9, AFC odds 18-1, Super Bowl odds 35-1. Their top additions in the draft and free agency, in my opinion, were on the offensive line with Matthew Slater and Corey Linsley. And I thought they did a great job adjusting to some losses early on in free agency and came away with a unit that's very strong and very impressive. Brian Bulaga on the right side. You got to protect Justin Herbert. I think Brandon Staley's a big upgrade in terms of the coaching staff. And if this defense does anything like the Rams defense did last year, I think the Chargers are live to win the Super Bowl.
Wow. There we go. Honestly, I don't want to be just an echo here, but I think the Chargers, yeah, when you look at the odds, it's very clear that they do belong above the Broncos. It's just that, you know, it's the Aaron Rodgers factor there. That's plain and simple what it is. But yeah, I mean, they've got all the foundational pieces you're looking for. You've got the young quarterback who can throw it with anyone. You've got an offensive line that they properly addressed with Rashawn Slater there, Corey Lindsey. I mean, you mentioned them. There's two bona fide, I mean, they're Pro Bowl caliber starters if they, you know, max out. And so you've got him better protected. You've got guys coming back that weren't healthy last year, like Austin Ekeler. I mean, if he benefits from some positive, you know, injury regression kind of there, I think that the Chargers, yeah, I mean, defensively, you look up and down the board, Asante Samuel Jr. I think, you know, they've added some real exciting pieces. And I think, yeah, if you're looking for a clear-cut second-place finisher or somebody that could actually challenge the Chiefs, I think it is the Chargers.
Their schedule is kind of interesting. At Washington week one, Dallas in week two, at the Chiefs in week three, and the Raiders in week four. If they came out 1-3 there, I'd be pretty surprised, but not entirely shocked. It wouldn't surprise me if they were 4-0 after that stretch. And then you get Cleveland and Baltimore before your week seven bye, New England, Philly, Minnesota, Pittsburgh, Denver. I mean, these are tougher schedules. So I understand why the numbers are maybe a little tampered down in this division, just because you have to play those AFC North teams. But they get the Texans late. You know, the Raiders, the final week of the season on the road. They get the Giants. This looks like a 10-win team to me minimum. And so I'm oh, I guess I'm back on board with the Chargers bandwagon. Sure. What could possibly go wrong here? Backing the Chargers to be really good. I would have no problem. And look, I don't think that they're going to win the division. I think the Chiefs will probably win the division. But at 6-1, that's pretty good value to me. I mean, that's a, you know, that's, you see, I mean, you know, that's just something, a couple weird things have to happen and everything has to click. Not everything has to click right for you to come away with that division title. And we have expanded playoffs. So I really like the Chargers at 6-1 to win the division. And I would splash on them at 35-1 to win the Super Bowl and 18-1. And I like their over. I just think they did a good job with it. Now, if injuries happen to their pass rush and injuries happen to their wide receivers, they're not necessarily deep in those two spots. And it could get a little dicey for them. But they're really, they have one of the better rosters in football. Certainly one of the better rosters in the AFC. And I just think they're a good team that's a smart coaching staff away from maybe taking a leap here.
Yeah, and I think their floor with Justin Herbert at quarterback and a coaching staff that is not run by the previous regime, that game day management stuff. I mean, your floor just with those two things, a staff that can handle game day situations and Justin Herbert at quarterback, you know, throw in the offensive line improvements. I think the floor is already way higher. And honestly, when we went through and did head coaching grades and stuff, I mean, Brandon Staley was actually lower on my list just because the experience coming in. I mean, it's not huge. I mean, he's not coming in with a vast resume, but like you said, if he brings a shade of what happened in Los Angeles with the Rams, you know, he's got the talent to do it. And so again, all you have to do is not do, and we don't even mean to, I guess, throw Anthony Lynn under the bus, but basically there were so many situations where the Chargers were capable of being a better team. And as long as you're hitting those, you know, they're going to be in contention.
I mean, I count 7 losses by one score, including 2 in overtime, one to the Chiefs and one to the Saints on the road, in their first 10 weeks last year.
That's deflating, you know, for your morale too. I mean, you talk about if you hit on half of those, you know, you're probably going in a little more spirited to the second half of the year.
Absolutely. Now, worth noting, they had several wins, including they had 4 or 5 wins, including one in overtime against at the Raiders last year by one score. This is a team that just was just always involved in a close game at the end. And it was what fascinating way will they find to lose this close game? Yeah. And that makes it tough. I just feel like Brandon Staley is going to be more organized, going to be more prepared, and could be wrong. He could show up and he's not ready for these in-game situations. And you're right, there isn't experience there, but I'm willing to trust him. Or I'm willing to trust basically anybody that's not Anthony Lynn. So yeah. For me, the Chargers are a good value just because they're being inflated a little bit right now with that Aaron Rodgers buzz. And if he doesn't get traded, their numbers probably come down. And the Chiefs' numbers probably come down too. Let's talk about the Denver Broncos after the break.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So Denver still rumored to get Aaron Rodgers, which is why they have no win total on the board. Their AFC odds are 10-1, and their Super Bowl odds are 20-1. You know, their top draft picks, Patrick Surtain and Javonte Williams, really nice players. Love their additions. They also brought in Kyle Fuller. They tagged Justin Simmons, traded for Teddy Bridgewater. They built a lot of things in place that I think where if they did trade for Aaron Rodgers, they would suddenly be the pick du jour, Cody, of people who want to sort of have a quasi sleeper to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it'd be interesting to compare, you know, their roster when they got Peyton Manning. Obviously, that was the transition. Speaking of Tim Tebow, transition from the Tim Tebow Broncos to Peyton Manning, right. And obviously that changed things pretty quickly for Denver. Yeah, I mean this all hinges on the quarterback. I think that, you know, Vic Fangio, you'd think he's kind of in a make or break kind of a season, and obviously he got some pieces for his preferred side of the ball, defense. They've got, you know, they invested not only Patrick Surtain, they also signed Ronald Darby this offseason. I mean, they've stocked up at corner. You mentioned Kyle Fuller. So the defense, there's promising pieces. You got Von Miller coming back healthy. But it comes down to quarterback. Yeah, I mean, I think adding Teddy Bridgewater, you know, that obviously at the least it raises your floor because he's been more of a good, solid, not great quarterback for his career. You know, he's obviously been more steady, at least in terms of controlling the football, than Drew Lock was last year. But it let's say Teddy, you know, raises the floor. If Drew Lock outshines him at some point, you know, your ceiling's probably a little higher. But neither of those guys, I don't think, is getting you beyond wild card contention, at least in my opinion. And so unless they've got an Aaron Rodgers blockbuster up their sleeve, you know, that's kind of where I see them at, kind of on that fringe playoff status.
And look, Vic Fangio's had some in-game coaching issues too. You know, we rip Anthony Lynn for it. There's a lot of weird situations that have unfolded with that Denver Broncos team where you just can't even understand how they're losing some of these games. I do think that when you look at their roster, it's easy to like this team. I mean, they're loaded at the skill positions, good enough offensive line. Certainly the Juwan James injury in the cut, and that'll be a hot topic all offseason, is a dagger, and Bobby Massey ain't in it right tackle. So they've got to figure that out, and that's something to watch. But they have plenty of – I mean, again, the skill positions are stacked. If Drew Lock takes a leap, this is a playoff team. And there's no question that the defense is much better. Kyle Fuller arrived and got his original big contract in Vic Fangio's system. Justin Simmons continues to blossom as they continue to tag him. And I still think Bradley Chubb hadn't really flashed his true potential. Von Miller coming back in a year where he's trying to maybe get one more bite of the apple. This is the team where if Lock takes a step or they trade for Aaron Rodgers – they're going to be good. The problem for me, Cody, is that I can't back him at this price. Nobody can back him at this price. Yeah. You're paying Aaron Rodgers, unless you know Aaron Rodgers is getting traded, even then you're paying a premium. 20-1 to win the Super Bowl? It's way too low. This is not a team that's winning the Super Bowl without Aaron Rodgers. It's not a team that's winning the AFC without Aaron Rodgers. I would almost rather back them to make the playoffs, yes, after Rodgers isn't traded there. Or maybe take the win total over 7.5 after Rodgers is not traded there. I think any amount of betting, from a betting perspective, the value's gone. You had to get it in when the rumor started. At this point, I'm just not sure there's an actionable move taken here.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. The better play is almost, because it's going to skyrocket. I mean, if they do get Aaron Rodgers, that's going to be the buzz for weeks all the way up until the season starts. I mean, people will be piling on that. So, I think the better option is kind of banking on that Teddy Bridgewater, Drew Lock contingent to to take them to the playoffs and be a surprise team. Now, are we underselling? I don't want to say underselling Teddy Bridgewater, but we're talking about Drew Lock's upside. And I think Teddy Bridgewater, you know, he proved in Carolina, he proved in Minnesota, you know, before the catastrophic injury, he was, you know, he's fine. He's a fine quarterback. And I don't think that he's necessarily much more than that. But we saw in New Orleans where he actually did have a supporting cast and filled in for Drew Brees. I mean, the record looked pretty good and the stats looked pretty good because he had the supporting cast. Is Denver that much of an upgrade skill-wise from Carolina that you could see maybe we're underselling him a little bit?
Yeah, for sure. I just think with Locke, I like the combo of Locke and Bridgewater because Locke gives you that upside where if he hits, like, oh man, like Drew Locke might have been awesome. He's got the skill. And then if it doesn't work out, like, let's go to Teddy and let's run the ball. Let's let him make short plays. The one problem I would have is that I just don't know that I buy into the Teddy thing without Sean Payton because it just didn't work with Joe Brady. And, you know, so like you take Teddy out of New Orleans and he was fine in Minnesota. Maybe he can work with Pat Shermer. We'll see. I don't mind Teddy. I just don't think you're going to go well with Teddy.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think, definitely shouldn't be betting on that.
Yeah, you don't want to bet on the Broncos right now without Aaron Rodgers coming. And then we said the value is probably all the way sucked out. I actually think that the Chiefs value is kind of interesting, not in the sense from the, you know, winning the Super Bowl at plus 525. That's a tough look. Or even the AFC at plus 260 because it's a long season. There are plenty of good teams in the AFC. And that's just an expensive price to pay for a single NFL team, even though the Chiefs have been right there for three straight years ever since Patrick Mahomes took over. They're over under total 12, over minus 140. And if I was saying top draft edition, I want to say Orlando Brown, who they drafted Cody via trade. Yeah. And then their top free agents, Joe Tooney and Kyle Long. In other words, they reworked that offensive line because they wanted to make sure that that Patrick Mahomes would be protected after he just got obliterated in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and they also drafted Creed Humphrey, who can play up front. I mean, it couldn't be more obvious. They saw what happened in the Super Bowl. They decided that was going to be the thing they could fix, and they could afford to do that because you look up and down the rest of their roster, and they've still got the most talent in the NFL in terms of, you know, the peak players at each position. You got Travis Kelce, you got Tyreek Hill across the ball, Tyrann Mathieu. I mean, the roster is still a Super Bowl caliber roster, so they could afford to pour into one. You know, you could nitpick about the depth at wide receiver. Obviously, Sammy Watkins went elsewhere. You know, they sniffed around Juju Smith-Schuster. But, I mean, it's still, at the end of the day, you know, Patrick Mahomes is there. Andy Reid is there. It's the Chiefs. And you can't say that for every team, every contender each year, but you can about the Chiefs. And so, it's just a matter of whether you're willing to bet on another 12-win-plus season for Andy Reid. And he's done it, you know, since before they were in that AFC Championship and Super Bowl.
Yeah, I have no problem betting this over. John Breach brought it up on CBS Sports HQ as his favorite bet, and they should win 13 games. I understand if Rodgers comes over, then maybe you're worried they don't win as many. But if the Broncos are decent and the Chargers are good and the Raiders are semi-competent, the Chiefs are going to have to win these games to keep pace. The Buffalo Bills look like they're going to be great again. The Chiefs are going to want that number one seed. You know, they're going to be pushing to win those games. So I don't think that we see the Chiefs come away with a 17-game schedule with less than 12 wins. So as long as it wasn't 12 and a half, I'd be okay with it. It's a huge number. It's tough to lay that. But it's really more like 10 and a half or 11, maybe 11 and a half, I guess if it's minus 140. And you get that extra game this year, and there's going to be AFC. The Chiefs are just not going to win the AFC by three games. And if they do, it means they probably got to 13 wins early on and maybe lost two or three down the stretch.
The easiest way to look at it is there's one more game on the schedule, which means there's a good chance there's one more win on the Chiefs total. So just bet it.
Yeah. I mean, again, the AFC, I would say if you're able to parlay it, or if you're willing to lay juice, and the problem with laying minus 280, which is the price for the division, is if you want to win $100, you have to lay down $280. So if you want to win, you know, $500, you're giving somebody $1,000 to hold for what amounts to 9 months. But as much as I don't, if you can find, if your book allows you to parlay division odds, I think the Chiefs at minus 280 are actually pretty good. They should be something like minus 400, but because of that Rodgers news, they've shrunk a little bit. And if Rodgers doesn't get traded there, they'll go back to 350 or 400. So if you could get that in now at minus 280, I do think that is good value, even though I also like the Chargers. You're like, I don't want to lay the 280. I just think that price is not correct.
And also consider, even if Rodgers goes to Denver and we like his skill positions there, take the package of, are you taking Aaron Rodgers on a new team with Vic Fangio and Pat Shurmur, or are you taking Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid? I mean, you have to look at the whole package there. And I think, you know, you look up and down the Chiefs roster, you're probably still favoring them. I think, yeah, they're still, you know, regardless of the hype that comes with Rodgers, if he goes there, Kansas City is your play.
Yeah. All right. That's it. That was fast. We did the AFC West. The AFC West is kind of cut and dry, and it's not, well, it's cut and dry in the sense that
it's not boring. It's not boring either, though, because you got Justin Herbert coming up. You got, you know, John Gruden drama, I'm sure, this year. Denver. I mean, yeah, it's not boring. It's just
you're not going to find much value in, even though I listed two teams I would bet on to win the division, you're just not going to find like much value in betting on the division right now because we don't know what the deal is with Aaron Rodgers, and we're not going to know for several months. And unless he's traded to the Broncos, and if he is, you know, before this, obviously we'll do a emergency podcast. It's just tough because Denver is, that's the storyline around Denver. And until we know about that, this division, nothing changes. And if he's not traded, then it's the Chiefs in a runaway. The Raiders are sort of the team we don't like. And if he is traded, then it's a situation where, you know, maybe there's nothing to like unless you're a huge Chargers guy like me. All right. Good stuff. Make sure and we'll have Cody back later on to talk about the NFC North. So make sure to check that out. Thanks for subscribing, rating, reviewing. Cody, as always, a pleasure.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe.
I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.